For SearchSAP.com, I'm Rob Westerveld. You're listening to Search SAP News Roundup for April 27th, 2006. This is the Americas is SAP User Group and Sapphire User Conference Preview Edition for SearchSAP.com. In this podcast, we'll hear from Mike Peroni. Mike is president of the Americas SAP Users Group. Mike also serves as vice president of IT for enterprise applications at Halliburton Company. Mike directs support, deployment, and development in Halliburton's SAP environment. But first, let's turn to the news. SAP plans to expand its on-demand offering beyond customer relationship management. SAP CEO Henning Kagerman told financial analysts this week that the MySAP all-in-one suite could be transformed into an on-demand offering. MySAP all-in-one is SAP's software suite for the upper end of the mid-market. Kagerman said it makes a lot of sense to start with the all-in-one program, but he didn't elaborate. Kagerman also didn't say whether SAP would rewrite the code to all-in-one, turning it into a true on-demand product. SAP already offers a hosted version of all-in-one. In other news, SAP reported its 14th quarter of double-digit growth, although that growth was slower than in past quarters. The first quarter revenue came in at $2.46 billion, up 18% over the same period last year. Software license sales increased 22% in the first quarter. SAP CEO Henning Kagerman pointed to 40 additional wins under SAP's Safe Passage program and continued increases in the mid-market under the company's new hybrid sales approach as signs of continued growth in the United States. And now let's hear from Mike Peroni. He's president of the Americas SAP Users Group. Mike answered my questions about how SAP customers are responding to SAP's Enterprise Services Architecture strategy. Mike gave his thoughts on the SAP Microsoft Mendocino project. Mike also answered my questions about why SAP customers are upgrading at a slow pace and whether SAP will face challenges as it moves down into the mid-market. Finally, Mike and I talked about the latest on SAP's Exchange infrastructure, SAP Master Data Management, and whether SAP's foray into the on-demand market could be successful. Now let's turn to my interview with Mike Peroni of America's SAP Users Group. I started off asking Mike about his organization's current membership.
It has always been an independent organization, pretty much run by volunteers. And today we have about 300 volunteers that participate as part of ASUG in putting together educational content, helping with our events, and performing influence activities to influence SAP.
Mm-hmm. What's the member base like? I mean, is it? Do you have a lot of CIOs? Do you count a lot of CIOs among your member base? Is it? Are there a lot of just IT? You know, lower level IT members? Can you kind of give us a picture of what the members?
We actually count now 45,000 individual members.
Okay.
And about 1,300 member companies. As far as our individual members, well, first of all, our 1,300 member companies cover the gambit of company sizes, mm-hmm. and industries for that matter. So we go from the very smallest company all the way up to the largest of corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And then across industries, you know, the oil and gas, the retail, all the way through government sectors. So we really do cover the spectrum of SAP customers, if you will.
You know, can you identify a few areas for us that you're looking for SAP to possibly expand or improve on?
Well, from an SAP standpoint, I would look at our executive exchange program that we offer to our membership, mm-hmm. and talk to what's coming out of there. We have worked very closely with SAP America to improve their account relationship model.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say that SAP has listened to us and they're building it into their account management model. So that's a very positive thing. We're going to monitor that, and we're going to continue to help them really move from being a vendor to being a partner in more of their companies that they provide support to.
Is that really a customer service issue? Is that what I'm hearing? I mean, I'm not familiar with the account model.
Yeah, it's more of a teaching sales their sales force how to show up and help companies better leverage the SAP products and services.
Okay.
As opposed to just showing up and selling product.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 2 years that our executive exchange has been working with SAP on this, we have seen that model. And even in my own company, I've experienced that change. So it's a very positive experience. Another big area is ROI and really TCO, which are kind of joined at the hip,
mm-hmm.
getting a return on the investment that companies have put into SAP. And in a lot of ways, just understanding what that return is that you've gotten since first implementing SAP. And we worked with our executive exchange participants as well as SAP's value engineering group to really put together a number of benchmark and survey programs that we now are conducting on an ongoing basis. And they cover areas such as human capital management, finance, supplier relationship management, procurement, and from an IT perspective, total cost of ownership.
I wanted to ask you about measuring ROI. And are customers really doing that right now? I mean, are they taking steps to measure ROI? Because I've heard from experts that not enough customers are doing that, and they don't have enough information really to know where to start.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that our executive exchange was so interested in working with SAP on this, because it is a difficult subject to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I don't think a lot of companies have the expertise within their support organizations to do these kind of studies.
Mm-hmm.
And two, a lot of companies aren't willing to share information, at least detailed information on this. Now, our benchmarks are anonymous to a large degree. We do present detailed results back, but we don't give away the company names and such that are participating. We do give back information generally about those companies, but keep the information anonymous as far as details. And companies are willing to do that in a benchmark study. And we are finding some pretty solid results from it. And I think these benchmarks are one good way to find out what the best practices are that are out there and where you stand in terms of best practices. I think another way for companies to find out more about their ROI is possibly leveraging SAP's value engineering group, which is something that my company has done, to really try to get a better understanding of what value have you gotten out of the application of SAP so far, from a business process standpoint as well as technology standpoint, and then what areas can you further leverage,
mm-hmm.
improve your business.
Where do those anonymous benchmarking reports come from? Does that come from SAP or is that ASUG?
Really a joint venture of SAP and ASUG.
Okay.
ASUG provides a lot of review of those benchmarks, the final reports, the studies themselves, makes decisions regarding which direction we want to go in as far as which areas we want to do benchmarking on further.
Mm-hmm. How much should the vendor be involved in that? And shouldn't it be more of a hands-off process? And
well, you know, I'd love to say that, but
obviously it's a good start.
because you do want benchmarks to be as independent as possible. However, when you've got companies that have invested as much as they have in SAP, and you know, my opinion is that it's not a bad thing to partner with SAP to help us with these benchmarks.
Mm-hmm.
They know their product better than most. They know how to dig in and help the customers get more value out of those products. As long as that doesn't turn into a product sales cycle, mm-hmm. and I'm glad to say that it hasn't, then I think we're okay with it. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, SAP is using these benchmark studies to help them in their marketing and to help them in their sales, but not in a direct way. I mean, when ASOG and SAP show up to talk to customers about benchmark results, it is definitely not a sales session. It really is a session to discuss best practices and where they might be able to get more value out of the product and services, for that matter.
I wanted to ask you about SAP's whole enterprise services architecture strategy and basically how are customers responding, or how are ASUG members responding to the whole service-oriented architecture push and the web services push?
Well, I think those are, I guess the best way to put it is curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how can I leverage this? How can I use this? I think there's still a lot of questions out there as to what ESA is going to bring to each individual customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of opportunity for ASUG, and we know it, and are working with SAP on it to actually help educate customers on where that value is. Because a lot of customers are still on the older releases, mm-hmm. older releases, although they can take some advantage of ESA, you really cannot leverage it completely until you get to the newer releases of the ERP products. So working with customers on how to get through those upgrades and what the experience of those upgrades is like is a pretty key element. And we've just finished up one symposium in Austin, Texas on upgrades. Have plans to do another one later this year. But during that one, we had customers that actually had gone to ERP, the new version of the software, actually talk about their experience.
Mm. Obviously, NetWeaver is the backbone of SAP's ESA strategy. And when NetWeaver first came out, I know the message, I think it's fair to say that the message wasn't immediately clear. Customers were really trying to get it, what NetWeaver is. And has the message cleared up? Do customers get NetWeaver now?
I think most customers understand that NetWeaver is a collection of almost you can refer to as middleware products that form the infrastructure for SAP products to run under and to interact with other products. So I think most members understand that. I think the initial branding of NetWeaver was difficult in that up to that point, SAP had marketed the components of NetWeaver as individual products.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since that initial marketing, they have been bringing those products much closer together and getting them to work much better together in an integrated suite of products. And I think that has helped folks understand exactly what the NetWeaver stack is all about. And it's been presented more as here's a collection of products and here's how they work together. So I think that message is clearer now.
I guess the next question is, who's using NetWeaver? I know analyst firms agree that right now, you know, most customers are on SAP R3, 4.6C. Why are companies not choosing or slow to move to enterprise, slow to move to MySAP ERP?
Well, first, the NetWeaver question. I think most customers are already using NetWeaver. They may not accept that they are, but unless they're a pure R3 customer,
mm-hmm.
Then they likely aren't. But in my situation, as an example, we use the Business Warehouse, we use the portal. And those are two components of NetWeaver. So we are a NetWeaver customer, even though we are still running R3 4.6C. So I think most customers are able to leveraging NetWeaver, but they're doing it in just certain areas. I don't think you can truly leverage all of NetWeaver until you do move your R3 instance to an ERP platform.
Mm-hmm.
Why are customers not moving? Well, I'm sure you're aware that corporations don't like major upgrades.
Right.
And they certainly don't like them happening too often. I know in our case, our last upgrade was, I think, 5 years ago. 5 years ago. And if we could get 7 years out of it or 8 years, we would do it. We are right now contemplating an upgrade in 2007, so we will have gotten 6 years out of our since our last upgrade. And I don't think that's uncommon for most customers.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of complexities, SAP is moving down into the mid-market. Obviously, they see that as a growth area for them, or at least one of the last areas for growth for SAP with ERP software. What challenges do you see for SAP as it moves down into the mid-market?
Yeah, from an SAP standpoint, I think what makes it work in the mid-range companies is if you are not complex as a corporation and you don't have massive amounts of change, as a lot of large corporations have, then SAP is not that hard to maintain. It's fairly straightforward. It's only when you get into the complex corporations and lots of change that it does become complex. But then again, what major corporation wouldn't be complex to handle?
Right.
Or have software that wouldn't be complex to handle. So I think the complexity comes with the size of the corporation. So I think small to medium-sized companies are going to be fine with SAP. And they'll be able to leverage more by participating in an ASIG-like group.
Speaking of the mid-market, now, when SAP entered the CRM on-demand market earlier this year, they put a little twist in it by sort of aiming, they're aiming it at their highest, their largest customers. Do you see a value in on-demand? And I know that Hennig Kagerman has hinted that they're going to expand CRM on demand to possibly ERP with the all-in-one suite.
And that wouldn't surprise me. I think they're trying to go after their large customers so that they can gain some traction in the area and also introduce them to the CRM products if they are not already a CRM customer.
Mm-hmm.
It is a interesting process in that you can use it in the subscription mode, no infrastructure required, so very little investment up front to try it, if you will. But then what makes it a little bit more unique than the competition is that as you grow in that subscription model, outgrows its usefulness and or is not cost effective any longer, you can actually move it inside your firewall and put your own infrastructure in place and take it over and save those dollars, if you will.
Is that why the largest customers, the divisions in these largest customers, were choosing companies like Salesforce.com and Siebel in terms of the on-demand aspect because of cost?
I think they were trying to test it and see if it works. I mean,
okay.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but sales folks are not people who are generally associated with computers or being good users of computers. If they could get by with just using Outlook and email, they would.
Mm-hmm.
So getting them to work with the rigor of an application is a difficult thing. And I think most companies recognize that, so I think trying it out with little investment is can be a very positive thing. If it works, if they can get the rigor in place and they can get their sales folks to buy into it, then I think most large companies would probably move forward with moving it inside and managing it themselves, whereas small companies could continue to use the subscription model.
I wanted to ask you about master data management. It seems to be on the minds of customers or right now, customers integrating data. SAP has its own MDM product that it acquired from A2i, and it's trying to gain traction with it. Are customers making an investment in MDM right now? Does that seem to be on people's radar screens?
Yeah, I think it's probably targeted pretty heavily to those that have multiple ERPs and or multiple instances of ERP systems.
Mm-hmm.
And those companies I do know have an issue on their hands because it is very difficult to keep the master data in sync, especially key master data. chart of accounts, cost centers, profit centers, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think there is traction growing on it. I think what would hold it up, if anything, is a product like that would require an organization around it. And for those companies who already have put organizations in play to manage master data, I think they'll want to adopt it rather quickly. Others who are still struggling with keeping all that master data in sync and don't have an organization in play, I think are going to look at the product as a potential to do that. Very similar to the early ERP days when people were trying to roll out business processes across the corporation where they had multiple business processes by business unit in play using the ERP system to leverage that.
Mm-hmm. I've got two more questions for you. The one is on SAP's Exchange infrastructure. Now, at last year's Tech Ed conference, it seemed to me that attendees were trying to really, really understand what SAP XI is. And I know that Raytheon's using SAP as one of the early adopters using SAP XI. Texas Instruments was there explaining their best practices around SAP XI. Are customers starting to understand SAP XI and finding success with it?
Well, I know that TI is because I talked to Steve Dean, who's on our board of directors quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a firm believer. And now they'll also tell you that they had lots of issues early on. They were, you know, one of the first customers to use it, but they will talk about the benefits they're getting out of it. We are a user of it as well. We are also a user of CBeyond, which is another similar product, and we will likely be moving from what we're doing in CBeyond to moving into an XI fold, eliminating the CBeyond product, if you will, over time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the easiest way, I guess there's two ways to look at it. One, you can standardize your interfacing technology. That's one value you can get out of it, and I think TI has moved in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other value, and it's a way that Halliburton uses it, is we can get on-demand interfaces, essentially, to where if our customer submits a request for us to perform work, we can automatically turn that into a PO and send it back to them. Or if we perform work and a sales order is put in, we can automatically turn that into an invoice and send that invoice to them real time.
Is that something you couldn't do with CBeyond, or is it just a matter of...
You can do it with CBeyond as well, but I don't think a lot of companies have taken advantage of this kind of technology.
I see, okay.
And SAP is implementing the XI technology in all of their product sets. So most companies will have XI in play. And when they get XI in play, I think they're going to find out how to leverage it further to automate all their interfaces and to also go with this on-demand interfacing, if you will. So it can be a very positive tool if you use it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think a lot of companies have got it yet.
Okay.
But they will over time as they implement the new NetWeaver stack and the new product sets from SAP.
Finally, I wanted to ask you about Mendocino. Last year, SAP launched Mendocino with Microsoft, and it appeared to be, you know, there was a big wow factor at the Sapphire conference. What's your take on the technology? Is it worth the hype?
Mine is definitely worth the hype for the novice user, if you will. I shouldn't say novice, casual user. Because it does put their world in one play. They don't have to log into multiple products, if you will, or it's seamless to them.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that more scenarios are needed. I do know that both Microsoft and SAP are working on those additional scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be the year that Mendocino takes off. I do know they have some early adopters of it, and they're, you know, I've heard positive things about it. But I think as they get those additional scenarios out, it's going to help them in adoption, if you will.
Is Halliburton using Mendocino?
We are not. You have to be on the new ERP platform.
Okay.
To take advantage of it. We could use components of Mendocino, but I I'm happy to report that by the time I get on the ERP platform in 2007, there should be considerable more functionality in there that I can take advantage of.
Yeah.
The other thing to look at it as is an example of the partnership that they're trying to form with Microsoft. I mean, they understand Microsoft owns the desktop, and they don't want to be there. They would much prefer to use the Microsoft technologies.
Well, Mike, thanks a lot for being with us today.
That concludes this edition of SearchSAP.com News Roundup. Check out SearchSAP.com/audio for other recent podcasts. I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.